And we now have with us Director of Biosecurity Research Institute, Kansas State University, Stephen Higgs. And I know all sorts of things we could talk about. You know, we have to get a mosquito update. I mean, that's your expertise. And they're still out there, no doubt.
They are still out there. There's been a case of West Nile. Kansas Department of Health and Environment reported that one, I think, last week. You know, Kansas is really not very well off in terms of mosquito surveillance. You okay there?
Yeah, you're fine. I was just going to get a little closer to you. Okay.
You know, we have a very limited program because of very limited funding. And so it's mosquito surveillance, people going out there, collecting mosquitoes, identifying them, looking for infection with different viruses. Is just a struggle in Kansas. We've got the mosquitoes. We know we have some of the pathogens, but we don't have sustained funding for that. We've got another year. I know I was talking to a friend, Ingrid Garrison, last week, and they said, well, okay, we've got funding for another year, but that is something that we really need as a sustainable program. You never know what's going to come next. As I always tell you, you always say, you know, what are you most concerned about? It's the next thing that we may not be prepared for.
And I know it seems like I did hear there were some cases involving horses out in the Garden City area, too. So, I mean, that's another way that we always have to notice. Not just people can be affected by these things.
No, absolutely. That's right.
Okay. And I know, of course, things calmed down a little bit on some scales when it came to mosquitoes. I mean, just sort of an update in general on other mosquito-borne viruses that we've been kind of following through the years.
Yeah. Numbers of Zika cases have declined very significantly in all those new areas where it was introduced. So many people have been infected, and so there's a lot of people who are immune now, and so fewer people that are vulnerable. Just, you know, kind of the same natural philosophy as we do with influenza vaccines. You know, you vaccinate people not only to protect people, but also to reduce the number of susceptible people out there to sustain outbreaks. And Zika has been so widespread that people in South Central America now, there's a large number of those people who are already immune because they've been infected. Same with Puerto Rico. So we're seeing a decline, but it's not gone away. It's still out there. People are still becoming infected, and we're still obviously concerned about Zika infection during pregnancy. And same old story, Kathy, I'm sorry, you know. Protect yourself from being bitten. Mosquito repellents, going around those homes, tipping out those water sources for mosquitoes, things like that.
I know Lake of the Ozarks, I tried to be very careful, but still caught myself getting a few. And you just really do have to be vigilant about reapplying and that kind of thing if you're swimming. And I think that might have been what got me, perhaps. But and you never know what those mosquitoes might be carrying. It may be totally harmless, but you just don't know.
You just don't know. This isn't advertising, but we were at Disney a couple of weeks ago, and there are stations there providing mosquito repellent to people who visit.
Mm-hmm. I remember that when I was there last year. So right. Exactly. Now, I know that research might be a good thing to explore a bit, too. I know you had your BRI Research Fellows lecture in the last week and kind of how that went and
the
latest on that. So
That's fun. So that's supported by the Marty Vanier and Bob Krause Fund. It allows us to have international speakers come in. We had somebody who I've known for many years, Scott Ritchie, come in from Australia. He'd been very excited because this coincided with the eclipse, so he was in Kansas City to watch the eclipse, and then gave a fascinating lecture on mosquito surveillance and looking at mosquitoes to see if they are infected. And they've got some fascinating new technologies that they're using. They're basically allowing mosquitoes, attracting them into traps, and then allowing those mosquitoes to feed on basically pieces of paper which are soaked in sugar. And they can then take those pieces of paper and see if those mosquitoes are salivating basically spitting virus. So that's interesting.
I love the title of his lecture, Mosquito-Borne Disease Surveillance, Can Technology Help Us Find the Needle in the Haystack? I think that's a really good way to put it, because they are such tiny. I mean, they're so tiny, and that's the kind of research you do all the time.
It is. And, you know, you see massive epidemics, sometimes millions of cases of people being infected. And yet when you look at those mosquitoes, there's relatively few of them that are actually infected. And that's a very difficult thing that we don't necessarily understand well. Obviously, that contact between the mosquitoes and people is a critical element. And when you're looking, even though there may be an outbreak, you may only get 1 in 1,000 of those mosquitoes infected.
Well, and especially if you're around a body of water, there's little you can do. I mean, I know that we can be careful about standing water, and you always hear about that on your own property. But Lake of the Ozarks, I remember we would shut there's a little closet down on the dock, and you'd shut it, if you didn't shut it at night, there'd just be swarms of them kind of that would congregate around there. So you've got to be so careful around bodies of water.
Yeah. And, there's discussion at the moment, obviously, what Hurricane Harvey will bring in terms of mosquito-borne diseases. I've been in contact, and others from the university have been in contact with colleagues there. Our sympathies and prayers are with those folks who are struggling in that. We moved up from Houston. So we've contacted people at the University of Texas Medical Branch on Galveston Island, which is survived relatively unscathed this time, thank goodness. But colleagues in Houston, I've got one friend, Peter Hotez, who's the dean for the National School of Tropical Medicine there and director of the Texas Children's Hospital Center for Vaccine Development. And I'm not sure how badly they've been hit. They've been right in the middle of Houston.
Boy, and I'm glad you brought that out. I'd forgotten you had connections in that direction, but it makes sense too. And quite frankly, when people are just trying to survive, I'd imagine insect repellent is the last thing on their mind. It shouldn't be, but it would probably be.
That's right. Yes, we got a text from a friend on Sunday saying, remember the house that you lived in for 7 years in Dickinson? He said, well, there's helicopters taking people off the roofs. Now, that really brings it home, the tragedy and people losing everything.
Boy, I bet it does. It hits home when you've been there yourself and that kind of thing. Oh, my. Well, that's, again, our hearts go out to all those folks there. People need to be careful. And hopefully the mosquito thing won't cause issues for them. I mean, they already have enough issues.
They do. This amount of water washes a lot of things away, including the mosquito eggs and the mosquito larvae. But nature has a way of coming back, and there's going to be a lot of pools of water all around that area in which they can breed.
I do appreciate you mentioning that. Are we making progress when it comes to mosquito-borne viruses? Hopefully we are.
I'm a natural optimist. You know that. We are making progress because the more we know, the more able we are to address the issues related to mosquito-borne diseases. There are relatively new technologies being used in our repertoire of measures to prevent these diseases. There's, the Wolbachia technology to release mosquitoes. This sounds sort of counterintuitive, doesn't it? You release mosquitoes to control mosquitoes, but you're releasing mosquitoes infected with a bacteria, or you're releasing male mosquitoes that basically can't fertilize the females. So that impacts the populations, driving the populations down.
And this is a global situation. I mean, you mentioned the Australian speaker, of course, with your BRI research fellows. They have problems with them in Australia, too, apparently. I mean, they're just everywhere.
Yes, I've been to Australia a couple of times giving presentations on mosquito-borne diseases.
You know, it's interesting as we talk about that, because you always hear in Alaska that they're the size of hummingbirds. I mean, I've heard this. I actually was up there one time just before the big mosquito season, but they say they're pretty large up there. I don't know what the reason is for that, but
I don't know whether they're
a myth.
I don't know whether they're larger, but they're certainly very, very numerous, as are, the black flies and things up in Alaska in those streams.
Very good. Well, it is about 9:29. Now, let's go ahead and take a break. I know we have lots more to talk about, and we have Stephen Higgs with us today, Director of Biosecurity Research Institute, Kansas State University, and we can maybe update folks on BRI and other things going on there, too. You're listening to In Focus on News Radio KMAN 537 1350 if you have questions or comments.
KMAN Morning News brought to you by Manhattan Appliance and Sweet.